Hey, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the How to Become an Elite Financial Advisor podcast. I wanted to extend a personal invitation. If you had questions about coming to our How to Charge Live event in April of 2025, that you would go to howtocharge.live.com. That's howtocharge.live.com. Click on a button there that says schedule the call. And I'd love to answer any questions you have about coming to our event in April. It will sell out, but if you have questions, I want to answer them as quickly as possible so you can get your seat to that event. I look forward to seeing you here with us in April. And now, enjoy today's episode. Well, James, thank you for joining me for another episode of Advisor Stories. Something we try to do regularly is talk with advisors who are actively in the business and that are working every day, like those who listen to this podcast, to feed their family and create a legacy and build a business. And I appreciate you taking the time to be here to tell us a little bit about your business and what you're doing to build out a team around financial planning. So thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So James, tell us about you, family, and business, how long you've been in business. And then if you could go into how your team, like how many people are on your team, and then we're going to spend quite a bit of time talking about that.
Yeah, more than happy to. So I've been in the business almost 10 years this June. It'll be 10 years of marriage in June as well. Just started right out of college, got married immediately out of college. Wife stays at home, helps out with the kids. We have three kids, 5.5, 3.5, and a little over one. So two boys and a girl. So they keep us pretty busy. But that's a big motivation for me to try to be as efficient as I can at work.
Yeah. Yeah, I was talking to an advisor today, a buddy of mine named Brian, and I said, hey, remember when you used to be, and I put the air quotes, you know, busy in college? He's like, yeah, I was super busy, right? You know, it's like, it's just funny how your capacity grows as your responsibility grows. So well, that's awesome. So you and I have talked about this. We have kids about the same age apart. Mine are 16, 14, 12, but it just gets easier. So you'll be fine. You're in the thick awesome. Of it though.
Thank you.
Tell us about your business as it's structured. And tell me about who's on your team, you know, maybe just first names or whatever, and what their role is, what their responsibility is. And then we're going to move into how that plays into financial planning.
Yeah. So I think from a business structure perspective, when I first got started 10 years ago, you know, I was mainly just doing insurance, some investments, financial planning didn't really exist. To the extent that it is today, I think there's been a big trend within the industry and then also within our firm as well.
Yeah.
So that's as my business has transitioned to, hey, I was doing the planning oftentimes, but not charging for it, but then also not actually having deliverable as well. It's really transitioned to a comprehensive financial planning approach. That's where I'm trying to lead with paid financial planning. And the way that the way the team is structured is it really came together as two colleagues and I as kind of joint work partners, Dino Pamakis and John Hunt, where in the past I've used Dino for investment accounts and John for investment accounts as well. And then kind of my role has been on the insurance side. But as we're trying to formalize more things, streamline more things, we're starting to figure out ways to better delegate and operate. There's a mindset that I've heard that says own, don't operate. So we're figuring out ways to how do we better own things and not operate inside them.
Okay. So it sounds to me like you've really been okay with, comfortable with putting, and this is going to sound like a negative, but it's actually going to be a positive, boxing yourself in when it says, I do insurance. That's my jam. That's my specialty. That's my focus. And then allowing other people to box themselves in, which again, usually a negative term, right? And they say, hey, you do investments. I'm going to do insurance. Mm-hmm. Is that part accurate?
Yeah, I would say for the most part it is. It's honestly a lack of expertise in my area. So that's why I have leaned on these two individuals that they each have between 20 plus years of experience themselves.
It. Yeah, I want to flip it though, like that term about boxing themselves in, because you know that's usually a negative, right? But also consider this. The last time you ordered something and it came in a box, you knew what was inside because the box said,
that's right.
And the box was made to fit the item, right? And I would say that it's in some ways people need to box themselves in more into an expertise and then trust that they don't have to be all things to all people and that they shouldn't, and they're not serving clients well when they do try to be all things to all people, and that they should rely on idea partners, which in this situation, I think is essentially what those people serve as. I know they're teammates, but it's like, hey, I'm going to let you be great at what you do, and I'm going to be great at what I do, and let's work together, and let's work together in a way that everyone wins. Mm-hmm. So is that accurate a perception or description of how you sort of stay in your lane?
Yeah, I would say so. I would say, honestly, a lot of this has just really come to fruition within the last few months and more so the last few weeks. It's just, you know, beginning of the year, had a great year last year, but it was pretty, you know, as like many, they're burnt out heading into the beginning of the year. It's not always a good feeling, you know, so it's just figuring out, okay, how do I better myself? I can't continue at the same pace.
Yeah.
And expect to repeat it again, you know, and still be a fulfilling father in my mind. I mean, I don't want to be going home completely wiped out when I get home, my kids want to run around and play outside. Yeah. So that's been my thing, is just how do I best delegate things? And that's something that Jared has been working with me and other coaches as well, is creating that so-called fire list to fire myself from doing activities that I'm not necessarily strong at.
Yeah. Jared, for those who don't know, is our head coach of our advisors here at EAN. So that was the mention of him. You know, I share a story that I actually experienced recently about my son was, and the punchline, the end of the story is, you know, what got you here isn't necessarily what needs to get you there. The idea that you have to operate differently to have different results. And what got you to that, having a good year last year, you said, hey, good year. I can't do that again though. And so for those listening, I want to encourage you, if you've had some measure of success, that's great. But if you don't like how you feel, or you feel like that's not sustainable, then how can you achieve the same, if not better results, but do it differently, right? It's improvement, right? It's efficiencies. Mm-hmm. The story I like to share is that I was really frustrated with my son recently because he was doing some weed whacking and edging. People call it different things in different parts of the country, but weed eater or whatever. And he had started it. You know, I showed him, hey man, this is how you start it. You got to put it on choke and you got to, you know, prime it and pull the cord. And I believe on this one, it sort of was stuck in the choke mode versus the run mode. And this just wasn't running very clean. Like it was running, but you know, the line wasn't spinning very fast, and mm-hmm. I just couldn't get the RPMs up, and it just wasn't as effective. It worked. It just took a lot longer, right? And then I was kind of mad at him. Like, dude, what's taking so long? You know, and I walk over there and I'm like, give it to me. And I realized I didn't tell him, you got to switch it to run after choke. And mm-hmm. so it was working, but it was not efficient. And he was burning a lot more fuel. And he was frustrated and I was frustrated. And I had this realization, like, man, what would get you started, right, is not necessarily how you operate, how you should keep running. So I want to ask you, as you think about sort of building out your team and being more efficient, someone's listening right now and they say, you know what, I just love investments. I can do insurance, but I just really love investments. How can they start to build out themselves, their team, in a way that, because I mean, isn't the greatest tension like, I don't know, I'm missing out on the, and then fill in the blank, right? Whatever the side of it, you know? Right. So is it the financial planning fee that sort of makes it okay for you to de-specialize? Like, how are you able to reconcile that you could be quote unquote missing out on investment stuff as you don't specialize in that?
I think it's continuing to offer the services, but really leading with planning. I think that's the main thing. That's what I've been trying to implement this year. It's always hard because it's easy to go back to where what you're doing for him. Just, right. You know, to have that rapid transformation, you have to kind of go back there and redo all the processes that work for you, but then try to lead with something else. But I think in the long term, it is going to be beneficial. So when I lead with planning, and then when I get the plan, that's when I'm then planning on using these other resources I have, these team members, to implement that part of the strategy. So me being focused on the planning side and in the back of it, I mean, I was even writing my plans at one point. And now I'm just delegating it off to an internal planner we have at our firm. Yeah, so it wasn't the best use of my time. So that's where I'm trying to figure out, where's my time best spent? And it's not going to be spending hours upon hours writing the plan or hours upon hours research and investment strategies. It's going to be spending the time with the clients, talking about planning, talking about strategies, talking about ways that we can help improve where they're at. And it came to my realization, it's how do I do that? And that for me to be able to do that, I have to offload other activities.
Right. So someone right now is doing okay in the business. They're starting to do financial planning. You know, it's funny because I feel like it's, I make this joke about Taco Bell that they only have like 6 ingredients in the place and they just put them in different orders and call them different things, but it's all the same 6 ingredients, you know, it's a burrito wrapped in a taco. So it's called something that a taco wrapped in a burrito, you know, it's sometimes that feels like the way financial planning business, it's kind of all the same stuff. It's just wrapped up differently.
That's exactly right.
How would you describe the business that you're operating in, and why do you like the direction it's going? If I said, hey, you know, describe your financial planning, but I wouldn't say financial planning business because that's a little bit leading. What's your ideal going into 2024 as you complete the rest of the year? Like, who do you want to become by the end of the year?
Great question. I think the person I want to become is known as someone that can provide tremendous value outside of traditional investments or insurance strategies or products. I think it's helping them in other aspects of life, whether it's figuring out ways to save money on taxes or figure out ways to better structure their business. That's the kind of person I want to be known as. Here's my go-to guy. Like, I'm having clients come to me needing help buying a car. And as simple as, hey, I'm looking for a lender. Okay, having a lender in my back pocket, here's someone that you should go work with.
Right.
I mean,
why is that even more exciting to you than what you have been doing?
I think it's another touch point. It's another touch point with a client. It's creating a deeper relationship with them. I mean, I've even got a car guy, for example, like he's a car broker, where someone came to me and, hey, I'm looking to buy a car. I'm like, well, here's a guy that can buy a car for you. He's a broker. Right. Experience was great. So it's like, okay, save them money there, provided value. Okay, now that's extra money that they now have and they can implement towards their financial plan.
Gotcha. What else do you need to do then in order to make that happen in the next, you know, 6 months? What else do you need to implement? And then how are you going to try to implement that?
Yeah, so I think it's continuing to work on the fire list. It's having actionable steps each week that, like, I have right here, having these actionable steps each week, holding myself accountable, utilizing different strategies, basically creating like an operating manual, so that as I'm teaching others to do it, if that person leaves or they change or whatever, I'm not having to start from ground zero again, because that's always been my fear, is you spend all this time training someone and yet you have to start over when that person leaves or they don't want to do it anymore. So that for me has been actually taking the time and blocking out time. Just that's something I'm doing now once a month. It's going to start spending 3 hours the first Thursday of every month just on the business. Because, the you know, if we spend so much time working in our business, how are we actually working on our business? So taking a step back,
right,
reevaluate where I'm at. What are my next priorities for the next month that I need to get done?
You know, I think that is so, you know, there's a very simple story about this that maybe you've heard. And I, the reason I love the story about this idea of working on instead of in, is because I can imagine the frustration of the person in the story as it relates mm-hmm. to productivity. It's a very simple story. It's probably true in that it has happened. I don't know if it happened in the specific way it talks about. And with all great stories that involve an axe, it probably went back to Abraham Lincoln because they always attribute stories to him. But it's this idea of you've got two people chopping, down trees for a living, and mm-hmm. one stops during the middle of the day for an hour and goes away and comes back, and that person ends up chopping, 30 or 40% more trees down, but they work an hour less. And it's because they would go away during the middle of the day and sharpen their axe.
Yeah. Right?
That's why they were more effective. And so, yeah, it's a cliched, cute story about, people chopping down trees, right? But the principle is timeless, which is I can imagine the frustration of the person, and there's someone that's listening to this right now and they're sensing that frustration. It's like, I am working. I work. Mm-hmm. I wake up. I leave the house before my family's awake. I come home after, dinner's been served. Like, I'm working hard. I'm arriving straight to my kids' practice after, straight from the office. And then I got to pick up dinner for the family, whatever it might be, right? Working, but I see these other people. It seems like they're not working as much, or it doesn't seem like they are, and yet they're being more efficient and more effective. And I think that frustration is real. And I think that it is just, I don't know what it is about our human nature, James, that we have such a hard time working on our business. Right. I mean, I do this within Elite Advisor Network of I can just be in my inbox all day long, or I can stop and work on, you said specific to that fire list, you're trying to hand off things that you don't need to do anymore. My follow-up question to that point, though, is, are you just left with so much open time that you're forced to work on the business as you fire yourself from other things?
Not yet. I'm still continuing to work on it. It's human nature to drive with our foot on the gas. I mean, think about it. I mean, we'd rather have our foot down in the pedal of the metal, especially as an entrepreneur, versus actually slow down, because we're always worried about the next one, the next opportunity. I mean, just yesterday I had a client call me, great opportunity. I had to rearrange my whole schedule because this is a great opportunity. In hindsight, it's like, should I have done that?
Huh.
So I think what I'm doing is trying to mark it out on my calendar. It's kind of be beholden to the calendar if it's on the calendar, and actually hold myself to falling true on that. Like,
yeah,
even for something as simple as just making sure all my presentation documents, whether it's the financial planning documents I'm showing, is staying up to date with what I'm doing. Because we live in an ever changing industry, things can get stale over time. So actually spending the time to slow down, because what I've realized is if I can spend that time slowing down, it's going to allow me to speed up, but also better use my time. And ultimately, my goal is to work less and spend more time with my family. So that's what I always have to continue to remind myself of.
Yeah. So I'm going to be really practical. Someone's listening to this while they're working out or driving or whatever they're doing, taking a walk with the dog. And they're thinking, this is great. Yet another podcast episode where I think about how I'm not doing well at something, right? And I need to be better. I need to be more like James, da 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 da. I loved your answer about, I'm working on it. This is fresh. Give the listeners something really practical they can do today. Has to take less than 30 minutes that they can do to start to shift to working on their business instead of in their business.
I would think about the activities that you're doing that are not the Sting calls it your non-revenue generating activities. Mm-hmm. Think about, just come up with a list of three of them and figure out what way can you remove yourself from doing those? Who can help you do that? And so often we focus on the how is that activity done? Focus on the who instead. And oftentimes it may be even just having other, if you're not on a team, having other people in your office do it. Like, whether it's, hey, are you still doing applications? I'm 10 years in the business. I've still been doing applications. Well, my who now is having two advisors. I'm in the management role, having them help me do it. Were they going to get a split of it? Mm-hmm. Immediately started doing that last week. So I identified that who. That was an easy thing for me to identify. That was a quick win.
Right.
So that's the thing I would say. Are there other people, if you're in an office, that maybe you can delegate that aspect of it to?
Mm-hmm. Love it. Love it. Last thing is, what's the fear that comes into your mind when you start to involve a who and it's not you?
I think the fear is twofold. It's not going to get done as quickly as you would want it to. Because if you could do it yourself, you may be able to do it quicker. I mean, that's for me, it takes you time to slow down to show someone else how to do it or find that person to do it. And secondly, it may not get done the same way that you do it. But that's not, neither of those things are bad things in my mind. I think as long as the job is getting done,
yeah,
and it's getting done the right way, that's what honestly what matters. It's ultimately helping you lead to have more of those time conversations with other people.
Yeah.
To help bring on new clients as well.
Yeah. Well, I hope that's helpful for those who are listening. You know, we want to be as practical as we can. And James, I appreciate your time. And as you continue to build out a team around planning, going with planning first, having people around you that are experts, whether it's investments or car buying or whatever, to truly become a resource for people in their financial world. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's a deeply personal thing. Finances are a deeply personal thing. And it's great to have a team of people that can help them navigate all those decisions. And ultimately, that you're not, you know, it's not Team James. Like, it's like you're, like, the answer is always James. Sure. Like that. I think the challenge a lot of advisors feel is that they like to be the answer to a lot of people's questions. But then you run out of time. You can't be all things to all people, right? So it's nice to be needed, but at some point you run out of time to be needed by everyone. So congratulations on the changes you've made. I know that you're still in the middle of a lot of changes, which I think is, you know, welcoming to hear a podcast about someone who's, you know, in the trenches and is going to wake up every day and mm-hmm. try to do a better job. And ultimately, if you're hearing this podcast and you feel like, hey, there's something that I'm doing in my business as an advisor that I'm changing, that I think other advisors would benefit from, then I'm just going to ask you to email me, andy@eadvisornetwork.com. That's andy@eadvisornetwork.com. And let me know. Let me know what part of your story you'd like to share, like James, who is, you know, in the trenches and is trying to, build a business and mm-hmm. is finding success in doing so. But as you stated, James, you know, what got you there, what got you here isn't going to get you there. So you have to keep changing. So I appreciate your time today. I appreciate you being a part of our community and trainings. And thanks for sharing your story with the other advisors. I know that they benefited from it.
Thank you all as well. Appreciate you for having me on here, Andy.
My pleasure. Thanks, friend.